helps
to define what
supports,
yeah,
supports the findings of our German study.
That's right. Clearly, we need to do that study in the United States as soon as possible, and I think I'm going to be doing a speaking tour in the United States. I need to start talking about that, and in Canada as well. And we need to get it into the official circles of government. Now, if the results in the United States and Canada, for instance, of such a similar study supported the KIKK study in Germany, would you then propose, as a paediatrician, that all nuclear power plants should be closed down because of this increased risk to children?
I did this already. I wouldn't wait for a similar result from the US or Canada. I think nuclear power plants are too dangerous, even if you don't think about accidents like Chernobyl or Windscale or Harrisburg. Even in the normal day-to-day operation, they are dangerous and they should be closed down all over the world.
They should be. I totally agree with that. And we're coming from a medical perspective, practicing preventive medicine, both of us who are paediatricians. Of course, my specialty, Dr. Eisenberg, is cystic fibrosis, the most common fatal genetic disease of childhood. And because of the massive amounts of radioactive waste being made and that will leak inevitably into food chains through many future generations, we will, I think, inevitably see an increased incidence of many genetic diseases in children. Would you agree with that?
I'm afraid you are right. I know many studies in certain animals around Chernobyl. For example, a barn swallow has almost died out already, which was very common there.
Yeah.
And in a certain type of field mice, Finnish investigators found what they called Chernobyl hazards, the genome or something like that.
Yeah.
Brings or disturbs very much the genes of these animals, and they will also soon die out. So in these field mice have two generations per year. So since Chernobyl, there are already 46 generations, and hardly to think about 46 next generations in humans. This will take some many hundreds, thousands of years, and we will still have to deal with such accidents. All our, I myself have four children and six grandchildren, and all those generations coming after them will still have to will still be in trouble with radioactivity.
Yes.
Even if we close down everything just now.
Yes, because of the radioactive waste produced, hundreds of thousands of tons. There are now described over 23,000 genetic diseases in childhood, Dr. Eisenberg. That's a huge number, and the number is increasing as we learn more. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so any of these diseases could be induced by radiation damage to the genes in the egg and sperm. Not just, of course, humans, but then we're talking about animals and plants that also suffer mutations in relation to radiation, and they could animals, of course, develop cancer, and plants do too, and the flora and fauna could also be damaged genetically in the future because of radiation.
So it's I should like to mention, maybe you know Ian Fairley, a British scientist.
Ian Fairley, yes.
Ian Fairley. He has many times pointed out how dangerous heavy hydrogen, H3.
Tritium.
Tritium. How dangerous that is. because our body, and especially that of young children, contains quite a lot of water. And if there is tritium, it will easily be placed even in the genes, and also the beta particles emitted by tritium have a very short range. But if these emitters are situated in the genes themselves, the short range is long and is enough to produce harm to the genes.
Yes.
And this tritium, which is always neglected more or less as one of the main radionuclides coming out from the stacks of the nuclear power plant, may play a big role in this, what you just mentioned,
yes,
the genetic diseases.
Well, tritium is an interesting isotope or radioactive isotope because there's nothing that will prevent it from escaping it. It gets out of containers made of stainless steel or glass or plastic.
Yeah.
The only thing that it can't get out of is gold, because gold is so dense. So a nuclear power plant, when operating, emits tritium at will, the whole time.
Yeah.
And then the tritium H3 combines with an oxygen molecule to form tritiated water. And
yes,
if someone's enveloped in a cloud or a fog next to a nuclear power plant, actually the tritiated water can be absorbed.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tickling the Belly of the Beast from the heartland of Santa Cruz. I'm sorry to interrupt that program, but I am very honored to have some special guests this afternoon from Uniting All Nations. They have quite a mission statement that I'm going to have one of them read. With me is Mike Daly. Mike, say hello.
Hello. This is Mike.
And we have Marilyn Black Elk from Denver, I believe. Marilyn.
Hello, and I kind of like being called Scarlet Plume.
Scarlet?
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. And Barry Tillman from New York.
Hello, how are you?
He's one of the originators. And we have two others that I just want to introduce as well. Barbara.
Hello.
And
I'm Christine.
And Christine. We have quite a few here. And we're going to start with a prayer, and then we're going to have Mike read the mission statement. It's about transcending politics as we know it and really recognizing sovereignty of all peoples. Mike, do you want to get started with a prayer? Or Marilyn. I'm sorry, Marilyn. Scott's going to read the prayer. Say a prayer for us.
I'm going to pray because as Indigenous people, no matter which nation you are, you always start with a prayer because we are blessed. Tungashila, the creator, the great mystery, did his best. So we in turn always turn around and do our best too. And we acknowledge that. We never forget it. That's why we always pray. So, wana. Ho, trangashila wa kantraka, tratia dopa wambligleshka, unchima krana pejihota wichasha, wamblichik ala ate, wachinhilute lemia, chinamach un omakia. We chosen in a woke in Yushki trankatahina unchimchim kayutana oyakam hata lila washtekte, nalena wongla cockte, wichashina wienkilina wongla cockte, nahena hoch unach unkte. Chehechus etagnishicha unkiam unchiam gipsne, non chimsnecha unkayutan oya capkehata lila washtekte, ikcha ohine tampiama umanimkte, chunkayutan unshilapina onkiape, chechus ewachewake, chechus e oya capkehata lila washtekte trunkashila, na untakia pikilena inja tuktel umkihena oichakia, we chosen in a woke kihena we chak ukta, chehelila hewachi. Jesus and the mach on the Oma cap can't a little wash decta. Omitakuya oyas in.
Omitakuyas in.
I'll just say real quick that I just pray to all the powers that be, the four directions, the Eagle Nation, to Tungashila, the great mystery, and to my father. I beg them to please come and listen to us. We don't want to say anything bad. We don't want to hear anything bad, and we're doing this in a good way. So we only ask for good health and good help, and even for all our relatives to have good health and good help, so that these things can be accomplished in a really good way.
Oh, thank you. It's beautiful. Mike is now going to read the mission statement of Uniting All Nations. This is Mike Daly.
Greetings, relatives. This is an organization called Uniting All Nations. And the mission of it is, the mission is Uniting All Nations is to hold personal conversations, gatherings, meetings, councils, and ceremonies to increase mutual understanding, to empower intertribal, intra-tribal, and extra-tribal reconciliation, healing, and unity. Aho.
Aho. Thank you, Mike. Marilyn, what name did you want me to refer to you as again?
Scarlet Plume.
Would you like to begin by saying, Barry, you would like to. Would you like to begin by speaking a bit about the origins of Uniting All Nations?
Okay, just...
can you get a little bit closer?
Yeah, sure, right here.
Thanks.
You can hear me? Good.
No.
Right here?
Yes, a little bit closer. The mics are funny.
Oh, good.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody,
great.
For listening. It's really good to be here. Thank you. It's a good opportunity to speak what our mind is for what we want to do. So the origins is, I just feel like over and over again in this country, there's these waves of merging where all these different umbrella groups join and even on spiritual levels and political levels. And there's so many different movements. And I think what's been attempted is like a merger of so many groups for the United States, in the United States, and then also for the world, you know. So I feel like we're a part of one of those waves of merging that's going on so that we can... so that the spiritual people in the country can work together and then eventually we can have a more greater political influence. So we're kind of like an organization, I feel like, that bridges the spiritual organizations and communities with what's out front, with what's actually happening as far as managing resources at the level of the United States government and at the world level too. So I've just been praying for this sort of thing for a long time, and maybe I've been a part of this sort of similar waves of this kind of development. This time, I know that I was working with this man, Edmund Ciccarello. He's part of our outreach in our circle. And he and I were thinking to do a prayer at the Washington Monument back at the inauguration. And at the same time, we were going to put up a big teepee that would allow a lot of different groups to spend time together while we knew everybody would be in Washington anyway. Well, just we didn't get permission to do that, but the idea of doing that caused a lot of people to focus together. And so this is, you know, this level right now, I feel like, is an evolution of that. And so then we ended up going, me and Edmund went to this political conference where we met some, probably the most incredible community in America that has the most expertise at uniting all these different independent groups in this country to get a lot done. So they've got a lot of resources, this community called the Transpartisan Community. We went to this event in February that was the first annual American Citizens Summit. And there, Edmund Ciccarello was speaking and listening, and he did a final prayer there that was amazing. And additionally, the organization, this political community, valued including Native Americans in their movement as like the third highest principle after something like integrity and something like transparency. Actually, transparency was first. So I feel like at this level right now, it's like this incredible political movement that could transform this country is now thinking, all right, what's the first thing to do? And they're thinking the first thing to do is, all right, well, let's heal that hypocrisy, where how we started this country, want America to be great. Well, what do we get? The first thing is to heal the rift between Native American tribes and their government. And we know we can do that because we've been meeting these people for many years, and it's a kind of a no-brainer that we should all work together at this time. So I feel like there's a lot of things happening. There's a future political movement, and there's a spiritual coming together for, you know, on the United States and this continent and the world. And it's a movement that has at the core indigenous methodology, indigenous tradition, and the heartfeltness that's common in the indigenous communities. That's something we want to help them. We want to help bridge it so that the indigenous people are imbuing that that relationship that they have with the earth into everyone, that everyone gains that idea about caring for the world. So just been layers and layers of activities. Now we have ideas for Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve, where we continue to bring the people together that we've been working with for many years already. Everyone just meeting each other and then evolving, you know, evolving as much as we can. We really want to take care of this country, and we want to be a good example for the world. And the United States really is very powerful, and we have an opportunity to shape its future. And Obama has really been kind in the way he speaks about how he'd like to relate with Native Americans. So he's made an invitation. The Indians have sort of asked for and made a demand over and over again for respect and resources and empowerment that hasn't happened sufficiently at all. And everybody knows it. And the whole world loves, you know, Native Americans and wants to see a good thing happen here on this land, knowing that'll lead to a lot of other blessings, you know. So it's important we empower the Indians in America. It's going to lead to everything else good in the world.
And when you talk, when you talk about the rifts that need to be healed, what are some of them? Just so our listeners have an idea.
What comes to mind is, well, there's the tribes that were had treaties, and they had maybe vast tracts of land, and they had agreements with the president or our government, and then some fighting would break out, and then the U.S. government would say, oh, well, because of that fighting, we can break the treaty. So then, like, massive amounts of land have been taken. And other atrocities have happened, and they would come on to native land, and they would fight with natives on their land, and then they'd act like they had jurisdiction to even be there, but they didn't. So the sovereignty that we tried to give them, we didn't really give to them, and it wasn't respected. And over again, you know, especially in the 1800s, all these treaties were broken. And then again, there's like hundreds of tribes too that maybe don't have any land right now because if they were just pushed away, they were pushed across their land, and so then also there's those people who don't have anything. Maybe some of those tribes are only like 500 people to this day, and wouldn't it be nice if they had some land somewhere where they could re-identify with who they were for thousands of years and recreate a little homeland for themselves. So we want to look after all the tribes to gain some money, some respect, some sovereignty, get some attention and get some investment so they can feel like they're their own little nation. And then and then there's the tribes that had the treaties broken. We should look at that and just get through it. I mean, a lot of it is really difficult. Most people don't believe it's possible. I mean, the idea of returning Alaska or returning North and South Dakota, and these are some examples of, I think, some, you know, and there's a lot of different transactions that need to be looked at. So It's nothing that we can't do. It's something that people don't often believe is possible. How do you return America back to the Indians? You know, and it's my feeling that that we just have to get through the conversation, that they're not going to take it all back. And either way, we should try to find a resolution. I mean, it's complicated, and I just know we can do it.
And we spoke a bit last night on the phone about apartheid in South Africa. Everyone assumed that it was inevitable and could never change. It changed just by talking and starting to take action, by vocalizing. And I personally feel that in our hearts we are carrying the legacy of the broken treaties and the mistreatment. On some level. Thank you so much for sharing that. Who wants to speak next about how they became involved? Mike?
Thanks.
This is Mike Daly. You're welcome.
I merely wandered into a ceremony in Upper State, New York. Someone who was already apprised of this kind of movement approached me and asked me if I would help out in some way. And so I've been on the telephone for the last 6 weeks, almost nonstop. It was not exactly what I was looking for. However, the result of it is, as I've talked to a lot of people across the country, and we've all had, for instance, participated in various movements, political and spiritual, which have done their work in their time, and a lot of them have come to nothing. I mean, seemingly nothing. That is, they've left people in a place where their guru was ordered back to India by the government. All the land and money they put up was curiously lost. It ended up somewhere, but not in the hands of the people who were giving the money for a specific purpose. So I believe that what we've got right now is a nation of people who are either totally uninvolved, have no idea of what we're talking about, or they know full well and have been through a number of movements. You could name Leonard Peltier's movement. You can name the Big Mountain movement. You can go back to 1838 and the Cherokee removal, which was better organized than the Big Mountain movement. Many, like the Alaskans need fish ponds, people who need a small loan from the government in order to stabilize their community, like we need $5,000, and the government comes along and says, I'm sorry, you cannot have $5,000 of our dollars, because we only give out loans in increments of $100,000. When they give out $100,000, and a sidebar, this reconciliation is clearly not going to be a cash solution. The United States of America Incorporated is owned by probably six or seven other major consortiums. There's Red America. There is the Black Muslims have a specific figure. I think it's $7 trillion. The Chinese own a good whack of the federal bonds, along with the Japanese, and probably the people in Southeast Asia are holding the rest of it. Who else is into the United States for enormous amounts of money? The Pentagon is also. And so it means that we are creating this out of thin air and right out of the ground right now, because it's the only thing we can do. Mm-hmm. We've been through the structures before, and it's fine to say, you know, in 3 years, when the climate is actually right for this, then we'll do it, is what we've been saying for the last 200 years. So we're taking a flyer on this and pushing it up. We're right now on the way to the Bioneers Conference to have a presence there among people who are truly doing excellent work on the systems of the planet. They know what the problems are. They're beginning to get a hold of the solutions, and we're there going there to remind them that without the Indian people and black people and yellow people and white people dancing happily in the streets and completely satisfied with the way things have gone down as a result of all our work, that we're not going to move ahead on bigger structures like cleaning up the ocean, the air, the water, and using fire in the right way. Enough said for the moment.
That was wonderful and all very true. And we are, as a nation, financially strapped. And I personally believe this is going to be accomplished in a spiritual level as well.
Yes, and our next engagement is over to the Economics of Peace Conference, which is at Sonoma State College the following week. These are the grandchildren of the Rothschilds, the Morgans. Who else is rich in this country?
Rockefellers.
Rockefeller.
Carnegie Mellon. Rockefeller, yeah.
Yeah. And those grandchildren are now holding large pieces of the family fortune, mm-hmm. and many of them are getting hip to that you can't get more blood out of the turnip.
If you say so.
Yeah, and so they have a lot of the blood to pump back into the system, and they're looking for ways to do it, and we're going there to remind them that it's an inclusive situation that they're up to. It includes everyone with no one and absolutely nothing left out. And we have the vision in the future is when America, meaning basically North America, and we have North America all nicely lined up with GATT and NAFTA, Thank you so much, my friends. We're all together here on this legally. Mm-hmm. And so when the rest of the world looks over at the United States and Canada and Mexico and Central America and they say, holy Moses, they got their act cleaned up. What do they think they are, better than us? Now that's the old answer. But when we have it in hand, in fact, other people are going to say, you know, we can no longer use the United States as the whipping boy we have used them for the last 200 years. We can't do it. No way.
Because we'd be a nation acting out of integrity.
Yeah, it's simple. I mean, it boils down to clean house and trust in God, and that's the end of it.
And or how
clean
that
house.
Looks.
I'm going to pass it over to Barbara right now.
And President Obama.
Barbara, do you want to go a bit closer?
President Obama has certainly given us an opportunity to
go ahead.
To renew those contracts. Those treaties in his speeches and in his that manifesto that he wrote, he recalled the Indians, the Native Americans, and had the courage to bring us up and we'd like to talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're going to do it is by starting with prayer, mm-hmm. our spirit, our heart,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on that goal mm-hmm. to bring it about, and including, not excluding,
mm-hmm.
other people, other tribes,
mm-hmm.
other indigenous folk.
Mm-hmm.
The Aborigines in Australia, for example, remarkable.
So it's planetary.
Yes, it is planetary. Mm-hmm.
And this will be evolving.
And there is something to be contributed by each and every one mm-hmm. of the indigenous tribes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If we have enough space
mm-hmm.
in our hearts for love, we certainly have enough space to do that.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you. Scarlet Blue, would you like to add something? And how you came to be involved as well?
Well, I got involved because I have friends. I have friends.
They have a tendency to do that, don't
yeah.
they? Kind of prod us along.
Relatives.
I have some good friends. I have some great friends. And I have some political friends. I have spiritual friends. But sometimes a friend can come along and put something in front of you and it just looks so right.
Mm-hmm.
And it calls to you. That's what happened to me. Because for a long time now, I have been really concerned. It's been one of my pet peeves about how we as natives get treated. Mm. You know, racism is not dead.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
We are not that good in this country, you know, because I'm a full-blooded native. I encounter it every day. In fact, just this morning on my way here, I encountered a lot of racism. And I was telling my other friend that, you know, I could have really raised a ruckus about it. Because I can do that. I have a voice. But I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to stay in a really comfortable zone. I wanted to feel good. And I wasn't about to let anybody else take me someplace I didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing all of these things and getting ready with uniting all nations. Part of the things that I've been kind of upset about are the treaties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really believe in my heart that a lot of the problems that it doesn't matter if you're Navajo or Sioux or Cherokee or Seminole or Osage or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't matter. A lot of our problems that we have today stem from the fact that the United States government broke the treaties.
Yeah.
a lot of the things that were guaranteed to us were taken away. And because of that, we have all of these downfalls, these bad things happen to us because, you know, like we have things like alcoholism and drug abuse mm-hmm. and gangs and domestic violence.
And suicide.
And suicide is now a big thing too, because that's the point where we've come to now because mm-hmm. of the frustration level is so high.
There are so little resources for you to draw upon.
Yeah, the resources are not there, but it's a whole lifestyle that got taken away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to remind people that this is the year 2009. It was in 1978 that we got our Indian religious freedom.
So, that's just 30 time ago.
That's just 31 years ago. I have a son who's 31 years old. Every time I look at him, the year he was born is when we had our Indian religious freedom.
And I imagine it felt like your heart was being ripped out, your whole identity, the way you walked on the world.
Well, you know, I'm kind of blessed in a way, and I think this kind of helps to make me who I am, is that I like to tell people that I'm on the cusp of when the world changed for the Lakota people or for natives on the whole, because I was born in a year after natives got their right to vote. So I am the first one in my family born with the right to vote. My brothers and sisters, grandparents, father, mother, did not have the right to vote.
I didn't know that.
And this is our country.
I know.
Tungashila, Unchimaka gave us this land to be caretakers.
It's almost inconceivable.
But yet, I'm a prisoner of war in my own country. I carry a card that identifies me legally. And I have a number, just like the Jews did. Mm-hmm. I have a number. Only thing is, it's not tattooed or it's not scratched on me anywhere, but I very well remember the number. I know the number. I have to, in order to be able to tap into services that are substandard services. You know, it's nothing of what we should have had today. Now, if these treaties had been honored in the first place, mm-hmm. the dignity, the integrity, the happiness, the peace, the joy that my family would have had. Instead, mm-hmm. we got kicked around and degraded, and all these terrible things happened.
And then moved.
When you have that kind of violence being done to your whole family and you're helpless, you don't even have the right to have a voice to express yourself in any way. Then all of these emotional damages happen. And mm-hmm. from that emotional damages, that's where all of these things are today, in my opinion, is, you know, the domestic violence and the elder abuse and the suicide. Because we're coming to that point where, you know, like for a long time there, our warriors, our men, mm-hmm. their whole lifestyle was taken. When you stop and think about it, even the hunters, what was there to hunt? There was nothing anymore. There was nothing to go and to take care of anymore, and the women couldn't go out and gather like they used to. Our whole structure changed because of those treaties. And I don't think a lot of people really realize that that's how, well, for me, that's how it all started. I look back at my family, and I come from a long line of really powerful people. Mm-hmm. You know, my ancestry is even better than the royal family in England.
Absolutely.
You know, because to me, you know, when I have people like Black Elk and Iron Shell and Crow Dog and American Horse, you know, I have those names as my lineage, you know, Crazy Horse.
That's such a rich spiritual medicine.
Yeah, but we can't even be proud of that, because, you know, sometimes they say, oh, you know, that's really nothing anymore. You should just let it go. And, you know, this is today. This is 2009. And you shouldn't be fighting. You shouldn't be angry about it because that's in the past and all that. But no.
Who's saying that? Other?
It's mostly non-natives.
Uh-huh.
The same ones that say racism is dead.
Yes. That's what I suspected.
Yeah. But it's still very much alive and well today. And so, you know, like this movement, the reason why it called to me was I was looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the mood for something different. You know, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm come from a long line of spiritual people. But I also have a voice, and mm-hmm. I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I also even have some education,
mm-hmm.
which gives me a step up from a lot of my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to take that stand and have that voice for them. And I wanted something that is spiritually based, but yet also can be political, because in my view today, we can no longer be just one person. Mm-hmm. You can't be a spiritual person and that's all. You can't be an activist and that's all. You can't be a nurse and be that's all. You can't be just Lakota. You can't just be Dene. You got to be a whole mixture of things and still stand steadfast, because that's what it takes anymore. You have to be an all-around person,
mm-hmm.
because the way I look at it is, you know, this movement, all of these people, this consciousness, this prophecy that we talk about, the awakening and the shaking, the rattle and rolling and all of these things like that, it's more of a spiritual, it's more of a mindful thing,
yes.
that's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things that are changing and happening, they've always been happening, but you hear people say, wow, it's never was like this before. All of a sudden we have this and that. But the fact is, all along it's been like that. It's just that now this consciousness is at a different level. So
yes.
there, it's like my dad used to say, people are becoming awake. You need to help them wake up. So
yeah.
sometimes I start out by with my speeches by saying, wake up, I'm going to talk. Wake up, listen. You know, because that's what really, there's still a lot of people
yeah.
unconscious. They're still asleep. And they look like angels. Because, you know, they're totally oblivious to what's going on. They're just not here. They're someplace else altogether. But they're here, and they need to wake up and know that these changes are happening. They are. They always have been. But now we need to wake up and deal with it.
It's more traumatic for many. The
yeah.
economic collapse and the environmental degradation, it's hitting more. So they're filtering. The way they perceive the world is going to be abruptly, rudely shaken.
Yeah, it's a lot of fear. But, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah.
you know, I'm not Christian by any means, but, but you know, we have this saying in the Lakota
uh-huh.
that's similar to what it says in the Bible, is that the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, while we say the Lakota are going to inherit the earth. But Lakota, I don't mean Sioux Indians from Rosebud or Pine Ridge or
uh-huh.
Standing Rock. What Lakota means is peace-loving people.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but this migration, this awakening is happening, and people are kind of converging
mm-hmm.
from all different directions. They're people, they're animals. If you can relate it to like a migratory of birds or maybe out on the savannah of Africa, you can just see them all
Let's
coming from different directions, and they're all headed to one point, which is like maybe a watering hole or something,
mm-hmm.
which is also the awakening of the consciousness, and water is life. Life is water. You know, we're made up of water. We come from the stars, and I'm really fascinated that nowadays the scientists are saying, oh, you know, check those Indians out. They were right all along. We do come
from
the planets.
Nations.
Yeah. You know, now they're finding out that the DNA is carried in these rocks that land here. So, oh, my goodness,
wow.
we do come from the stars.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've been saying that all along, but now the scientists are just now discovering that. And we've been saying the heartbeat of this planet, it's our mother, and it's in the Black Hills of South Dakota.
And
guess what? A few months ago, the scientists, there's a whole group of them all over the world, global, they've been listening to this sound that they picked up coming from the core of the earth. And then when they finally got the sound down, it was the sound of a heartbeat.
Mm.
So they started moving around the world trying to find out exactly where this sound was coming from. And these are scientists from Japan and Australia, New Zealand, America, China, Japan, just all these different scientists. And they finally pinpointed that sound of that heartbeat that's coming from the earth. It's in the Black Hills.
Wow.
So, you know, so people need to catch
right
up
South
with
Dakota.
Us.
Right, South Dakota.
Yes.
Yep.
So the people, the world needs to catch up with us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is not a bad thing. They don't need to be afraid. Mm-hmm. We're all converging together. We're all migrating. It's an evolution of things. It's an mm-hmm. evolution of time and space. Because in time, before time, before time, we were all earth people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became Christians and ruined it all. Okay, I'm just joking.
No, I'm not joking. Well, but Christianity came with the folks from Europe, and that was what was in their land.
Yeah.
And it was distorted and used for the purpose of
And then
of
when
others.
They came over here, what they did to us is the atrocities and what they did to us.
The missionaries. You know, and
they raped the children, and they took the children away from the families and into the boarding schools. It's a lot of different things, you know. So the treaties are really important. But to bring people together is work.
It is work.
But, you know, when you have the spirituality and you do it with prayer.
And the right way.
You know, the consciousness. The consciousness.
It moves mountains, literally. Yes. I've seen it in ceremony. And
yeah. Anyway, I could talk forever, but I'll give somebody else time, space.
My story is
Thank
very
you.
Different.
This is Barbara.
Yeah. My story is very different. I didn't know that I was Native American until I was about 16 years old. And I, my mother told me.
Huh.
And so one of the things that I did was read The Trail of Tears.
Uh-huh.
This is a book, a historically accurate book, that can teach us many things. Mostly, not to do it again. The Cherokee wrote their own constitution, their own Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, they developed their own alphabet. They did all the work necessary to stand as a nation, as many have. And then Andrew Jackson moved them all out of their indigenous landscape and trucked them all to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
These are not things to fixate on. They're not things to forget.
Mm-hmm.
They're things to learn from. And one of the things about this group that I really enjoy is their desire, our desire, to mm-hmm. be inclusive,
mm-hmm.
to bring along anyone who is up to the peace, who is up to the promise that Mr. Obama has made, who can bring more understanding of the different place, the different ground of being that indigenous folk come from
mm-hmm.
and go to.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are starting out in the only way possible, in the way that they've always known to start, mm-hmm. and that's from spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's from your heart. And if that isn't the place you start, your goal falls short. And I think that the restitution of some land,
mm-hmm.
the honoring of some tribal treaties,
mm-hmm.
is only the beginning
mm-hmm.
of what is due to the indigenous folk of America and all over the world.
Mm-hmm. It's been a rape.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Definitely. I mean, it's unfortunate, but Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf wrote that he got the plans for the Holocausts and the camps and such.
Yes, he did.
From what Los Presidentes did to the Native Americans. This is not something to be proud of. This is something to correct.
And our hearts all bleed as a result of what's happened. And we feel that, as you talked about, the heartbeat that we all feel. It's in this land, in our drum.
If we're listening.
Yes.
If we can hear.
I believe more and more are. I do see a shift, and I believe that's one of the reasons that the economy is collapsing. We cannot continue in this destructive path. We will all go. The mother will shake us off like...
Not a solid foundation.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. There's only so many treaties you can't honor.
So what is Uniting All Nations doing, and how will it be evolving thus far?
By putting out the word?
Let me get in a little bit here.
Sure. Mike.
Yeah. The question comes up to me as following Scarlett Plume's talk is,
that was beautiful.
Why would this concern me as an average citizen or being in the United States of America Incorporated? And the answer popped right straight through, which is slowly and carefully reach into your back pocket, pull your wallet out, take a look at the cards in your wallet and throw them in the trash can, and then see who you are. Aho.
Aho.
Who does not have a tribal card? I have my driver's license number memorized. I have it, and it's a barrier against intrusion. License, registration, and proof of insurance, please. Without that, you are downtown in a heartbeat. Make no mistake about it. That's just the way it goes.
So we're now all being impacted.
Another reason why you should be concerned about it is I owe $60 to the Subaru dealership, or not? No, to Rick's Subaru over here, and I haven't paid him yet. This is real important stuff, is to keep my debts straight, because I need to go back to Rick when the Subaru breaks down the next time. You know, he knows Subarus. He also knows how much I owe him for the work. QED. Now, even bigger is that the heart of all people who are impacted by out integrity in the treaty structure affects their heart. And the heart is the biggest and most powerful organ in the body by measurement. And when other people's hearts are not working, my heart cannot work properly. Everything that's been taken away from me, I can deal with, you know, because I'm trained to do that. But the things that have been taken away from my friends are leaving my heart like raw and open. Things need fixing here. Like I said, it's probably not altogether a cash solution. And the heart is, check this, they are now measuring heart waves and its influence on earth magnetic waves, which the Aboriginals tell us are the way the earth thinks. The earth is thinking with magnetic waves, and our ceremonies put us into a state that is a part of an other nervous system that we all carry inside of us, which is not the central nervous system. It is the paraneural nervous system, which understands things in a totally different way. So.
And she often feels it from just walking on the land.
Yeah.
Picking up a branch, sitting by a tree.
Yeah.
What next? Looking at that mountain lion while you're out.
I heard the word Obama's promise.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear what Obama is promising.
In his peace.
He promised, he wrote
Here's Barry.
Before he was elected in the last, January, he wrote from his campaign 4 pages of ideas, a lot of ideas that are already been on the table lately about what the Indians want. It wasn't a total reconciliation idea. It wasn't that broad, but it was pretty good. But the first statement in that whole statement was that he thought, that we should honor all treaties with Native Americans. And since George Bush and I think Bill Clinton, they both were clear that, I mean, they were saying that, you know, Native nations are sovereign nations. So I guess Obama's opportunity now is to try to heal that. He's opened the door, and it's our opportunity to show up. You know, he's saying, you know, he wants to honor all treaties. Well, now everyone should go to Washington. And actually, next month, Obama is having a meeting with the vast majority of all tribes within the United States borders. And we're going to see how effective it is.
When is that next month?
It's like the third week in November. I don't have the dates. But it's coming. And I applaud Obama's leadership for causing that to happen. And I hope that they are, you know, I think it's going to be really great.
And what is your website? Are you going to be posting this information on the website?
Our website is not up yet, and it's Uniting All Nations, and they just decided to get it yesterday like this. So it's going to be UK or .net or something like that. So we can't give it out right now. But just so that people have a contact for our organization, since we've just begun to structure, we've just chosen our four officers. Our president is Marilyn Black Elk Scarlett.
Scarlett.
Scarlett Plume is our president. And our vice president is a Navajo gentleman named Raymond Jones. He's a veteran and experienced leader. And our secretary librarian has worked in many political movements, Savannah Hawkins. And our treasurer has been an organizer within the Green Party for many years. And he was actually a presidential candidate for the Green Party, the first runner-up, I think.
Who's that?
Twice. Kent Mesplay is his name. He's our treasurer. And so I should give my email address right now.
Yes.
And my email address, if anybody has a question and would like to attend our ceremonies or ask questions or help merge circles for these same things to happen.
Contributions
is good. We are planning a wonderful Thanksgiving gathering that's going to be very expensive. And also New Year's Eve is going to be really special.
And it's a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We can write our fiscal sponsors, We the World. WeTheWorld.org. They have their own vision for how the world can improve, and it's a wonderful website.
So you're working with We the World?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our fiscal sponsor.
So your fiscal sponsor. So yeah. If someone went to We the World, is there a link?
They can make a donation through their PayPal account to Uniting All Nations, and they just need to mention Uniting All Nations. There's a little spot when they make a donation. There's a little spot they can indicate that it's for this project.
And could you put updated information as to what Uniting All Nations is doing until your website is up?
They could. We probably will put something on the We the World website. But we're going to have We the World dot something by the end of this weekend. So,
oh, great.
So since it's timely and people might listen to this right away, they should call us immediately if they have interest in this work. And they could email me at leadershipcommunity, all one word.
Leadershipcommunity.
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm doing outreach, and I represent I represent the officers and the other outreach people. There's three other outreach people. So based on what you want, I'll introduce you to the other people in the organization that you might want to speak with. Maybe you want to speak to the executives, then I'll give you their phone numbers and so forth.
I would. It'd be once a month, have someone come on for a period of time and just speak, and we can have updates. I really would. We'll archive it as well. And what's going on this weekend at the Bioneers? Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Well, Bioneers itself is like this is one of the more perfect organizations in the world. They have 5,000 people, I think, come to their event, and they have satellite events around the country. I think it's their 17th year.
And It
started, I think, as an environmental focus, but it has grown to be comprehensive for just about every solution for humankind.
It is.
Different technologies and all manner of things is there. So we wanted to, our circle, our movement wanted to get to know each other better. So we thought, what better place than to do it, do that event at the same time?
Because you're scattered throughout the states.
Yeah,
we're
all around the country.
Nations. So you're coming together here in Santa Cruz and Marin County to gather at the Bioneers and speak about.
We're doing 11 days of gatherings right now. We're doing 11 days of gathering, and it starts before Bioneers, and it goes through the week where this group called Economics of Peace is gathering, and they have a lot of resource and ideas. They're brainstorming.
But that's after the Bioneers.
That's right after Bioneers, starting on Monday through Friday.
So what exactly will you be doing at the Bioneers? Because I know a lot of people from
networking.
Santa Cruz will go.
We'll be networking. We'll be bringing some brochures, and we'll be connecting with people and meeting people that are interested in signing a pledge that is about a commitment toward world service and joining us and joining our phone calls, joining our committees. Maybe potentially joining our movement. We have a plan to have a full-time positions for a lot of people. So people who feel like doing this full time and feel strong about it, we'll get to know them, and you know, we'll fundraise for everyone to work on this full time.
So this is truly evolving, as we spoke about before we came on the air. You're open to other input through prayer and ceremony and watching it unfold. There's nothing rigid about it.
Yeah, we can't be rigid because it's...
No.
It's
so if people are touched by what you're hearing today, please show up at the Bioneers or email Barry. And your website, when it does come up, is unitingallnations.org.
It might be .uk because we just found .uk? .org was already taken by somebody. So maybe .uk.
United Kingdom, I think of.
Yeah, we're not sure. We're going to decide today or tomorrow. What it makes sense is what we'll do. We'll do our best.
We do.
Everyone's flying in right now, so we're going to have an opportunity to discuss that with everybody.
I know. A lot of people have been coming in.
We have a large council coming in today and tomorrow.
I thought I'd be interviewing one or two people. I was at the door. Oh, my word. How many can I legally have here? But after that, you're going to Sonoma. After the Bioneers, you're going to Sonoma State.
That's right. Yeah, we want to learn from their gathering. They're solving all sorts of economic problems globally, long term. They're having a think tank. There's people.
Who's involved?
It's some spiritual organizations. One is called the Praxis Peace Institute, and I had just heard that this organization that's involved with philanthropy is involved, and I had heard some of the relatives of some very wealthy, powerful families are going to be involved. So it seems it's very much about new kinds of currency. And I don't know if they'll talk about, I think they're going to talk about like World Bank and international banking situations, I think. Cause
I'd like to be there.
They want the world to be, usury might come up, global usury, banking.
Very important concept.
But that's, I think that's something I like
debt
to talk
about.
Debt
and interest.
But I didn't see that on the agenda. I didn't see that like the World Bank conversation. I'm just suspecting that might be something they might talk about because there's so much economic.
So you're going
there.
To be sharing what you're doing.
Yeah, we're going to ask for support. We're going to try to I'm going to try to
convince them. Will you be speaking at a certain time?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll just be, you know, we'll show up and we'll get as many tickets to go in as we can go in, and we'll bring our brochures
and
we'll invite some people to our ceremonies that make sense that we'd like to pray with, and you know, we need a lot of the resource that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they're going to help us, and then we'll help them as much as we can. Like it'll be some sort of a merger, some overlaps.
Mm-hmm.
Overlapping of things, you know. I think they want to implement good ideas that they come up with, and we want to implement good ideas, not just about Indian issues, but things that support all people and make government more efficient and all kind of good, wonderful things. So it's just time, you know. I think we're going to move as a community, and we're going to visit when there's a major global gathering going on.
I see.
We're going to have been to Bioneers and collected some people. We're going to have been to Economics of Peace and collected some people. So as we are a global entourage going to this event after another, a year from now we'll have visited like all of them, and we'll have, you know, a lot of people, and we'll have a kind of a network that represents so many movements.
And that's how everyone here got started, it sounds like, too.
People will be getting in touch,
Barbara,
with us, too.
Yes.
Who are interested in this issue and want to bring this to a summary kind of conference and end.
Yeah.
A new way to live.
Yeah,
actually,
that's what it is. It is. And I think many are tired of the, well, in politics, the either Democrat or Republican. There needs to be another platform entirely. They're not addressing the heart. And when I talk to most people, they have gaping holes there. And they feel that loss of something. And this is what I feel is being brought forth too.
Yeah, and make no mistake, this is not an Indian movement. This is not another Indian movement that is asking for help from white people or anybody. This is all inclusive. When reconciliation becomes a fact on any part of this planet, every single person is involved. Whether you like it, don't like it, love it, cheer it, denigrate it, whatever you're going to do with it, it's a context, it's an atmosphere that is necessary for us two-legged, five-fingered people, Wamakashkans, on this planet, in order to stand up straight for Mother Earth, which is crucial at this time. in order for us to stand up, we need to clear the decks for the action that we have already. We're now reaping the consequences of a lot of our own behavior.
Uh-oh.
All of us. No one left out on that one.
Yeah, and it's been sped up as well.
Yeah. Sped up.
The whole process. Well, we're going to be ending shortly. We have about 15 minutes. I can either play some music, we can recoup, but I'd like to hear some more about your visions, each and every one of you. Would you like to share, Scarlett? Blue?
Well, you know, we're talking about, you know, this is an all-inclusive organization. And every time you talk to me, you're going to always hear about the Native side because that's what I am. But part of my whole vision is that I would like to see people of all color be honored and respected. And to come together and to fulfill what Tungashila, the creator, had put us on here for in the first place. You know, you have the black nation, the red nation, the yellow nation, and the red nation.
Each with different purposes?
Each with a different purpose. And if you look at the globe and you really look at it, you can see how Tungashila, in his wisdom, put it all together. Africa is black people, Europe is white people, and Asia is yellow people, and this whole Western Hemisphere is the red people.
Yeah.
You know, so all of these people are really, really important. But part of the visions that I've grew up with and learning to respect and honor, and that's why I'm trying to do this work, is that we all are in the same boat. Mm-hmm. There is no other place to go. This is our home.
It's getting smaller and smaller.
It's not like we can just jump on a plane and head over to another planet or something. It's not like that. What we have here is what we have here. And we need to respect it. And by respecting it, we need to respect each other. So that, you know, all of these things, we can all live together in harmony and in balance the way it originally was intended. But how do we do that? You know, some people would like to see all the white people and black people and yellow people go back over to the other side of the globe and be there and leave us what we have here because we're the caretakers of this land. But, you know, the truth and the reality is that that's not going to happen, at least not in my lifetime. And a lot of these things that we're all striving for may or may not happen. But like the apartheid, you know, you start talking about it. You start envisioning it. People make the sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, already there's a lot of people that have laid down their lives. A lot of them have already been in jail. I mean, like my brother Leonard Peltier. He's been in jail for 33 years for a crime he did not commit. And there's even evidence, but the government is suppressing that evidence because they, you know, somebody has to pay the price, and they've chosen my brother Leonard to do that, and I don't think that's right. And I'd really like to find a way to talk to Obama, but especially Michelle and her mother, Mrs. Robinson. Mm-hmm. You know, they should understand what it's like to have a brother, to have a son, and if something unjust happened to their brother or their son, wouldn't they be fighting just as hard?
You bet.
So I think that's where we really need to go. And Obama is a good man, you know. But I'm still kind of waiting to see exactly how much he's going to do because, you know, politics is politics, and he can talk a good word, but to actually do something is another thing altogether.
And he has a lot of pressure on you him know, too.
Yeah, it's the pressure, but there's all that fear. There's a lot
of
fear in the world, you know,
that
people don't want to change. People, you know, are afraid that if they rock the boat, if they become political, their lives are going to change. And they don't want to lose what little they have.
Very true.
And even with natives, you know, a lot of them won't speak up for their rights because they've come an awful long way from the boarding school to have that nice SUV, to have that education that affords them to have a split-level home or a condo. So there's a lot of things that we're up against, but it's just the beginning talk. Just start talking about it and getting that movement going to that water hole, all of us coming from different directions and meeting up there, because deep down inside, I don't care what color you are, deep down inside, and I don't care how rich you are or how educated you are or you think you're educated, everybody wants the same thing.
Yes.
Peace, love, joy, and happiness. Everybody's sick and tired of jealousy, envy, greed, and hatred.
I know.
But yet, you know, we still keep buying into it. And if you look at the television shows these days, those reality shows, that just feeds us over and over and over to hate each other, to undermine each other, to stab each other in the back. And those are not good programs for anybody. I don't care if you're 80-year-old or an 8-year-old. Those kinds of programs are not any good, just as like the soap operas are not, you know.
And that same message is throughout the media.
Yeah.
And in our institutions, they're very hierarchical. Corporations, our whole way of life encourages that competition, the separateness. And we're not. We truly are related.
Yeah.
But we walk around surrounded by another.
Yeah, you know, when we get done praying, we say, Mitakuye Oyase, which translates to all my relations.
Yes.
But when we say all my relations, we don't mean just the white, the black, the red, or the yellow people. What we're also talking about are the four-legged, the winged, the creepy crawlers, the ones that live in the water, the rock, the fire, the green. All of those things. We're all related.
And boy, we've mistreated them.
And we're just abusing them, and we're not doing such a good job.
It's gotta change.
So we need to have this consciousness. We need to wake up. We need to be aware. My daddy used to always tell me, my girl, be aware, beware. And when I first heard him say that, I thought he was saying, be aware, be aware. But all of a sudden one day I heard him saying, beware. But he didn't mean it like in a beware of in a bad sense. But beware. Beware what your actions are, the consequences. Mm. That's what he's talking about. When I got that epiphany, oh boy, my whole life, you know. Gosh, my dad's a smart man. You know, because every little bit that we do is a big change.
Yeah.
And it takes people like my colleagues here, people that are out there that haven't found a voice yet. It takes a little bit. But if we just keep going over and over, pretty soon we're all going to find each other. Mm-hmm. We all don't meet each other just because it's coinkydink, you know, or
no,
you know, just running into each other. I believe that there's a plan. There's a purpose, not a reason or an excuse, because reasons and excuses are lies, but a purpose. We're here for a purpose, to accomplish something, and that's why we all find each other. And that's another teaching that I had, was that as you go through life, you're going to find those people that are like you.
Yeah.
So I got all excited. You mean there's other people like me? Because I always thought I was kind of weird, but
I do.
Because of the way I think. But now I'm really happy to know that other people are thinking the same way. I'm not so alone. We all have to love each other, respect each other, help each other along. Mm-hmm. But mostly, we have to respect our ancestors.
Yeah.
We respect our ancestors, we respect ourselves, and therefore we respect the future. Because if we don't do that, that future can't be. What are we going to do? We're going to pollute everything to the point where we can't refresh it. Because right now we still have a lot of ceremonies that we can do to help each other along, to try to help correct things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we keep going and we keep ignoring a lot of this stuff, we're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of nations have lost their song, their way already. So we can't afford to let the rest of the nations, or the rest of our relatives, let that happen.
Yeah.
we have to become conscious. We have to wake up.
Absolutely. And what you just shared about knowing where we come from, honoring the ancestors, and being cognizant of where we're going when we speak, because we have the present moment, which is very powerful, but there is that continuum connecting the past, the present, and the future. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your words.
Yeah, because it's not wisdom. A linear thing.
No, it isn't.
You know, and that's even us,
it
too. It's
it's a
hoop.
Yeah.
It's a circle.
Hoop.
You know, you can't even say we have death, because it's not really death, it's birth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know.
Thank you. I love what you're sharing, all of you. This is really touching my heart today.
Well,
Barbara.
I can't wait for this meeting with Obama.
Yeah.
Because
next month.
I went to Sundance at Rosebud, all of the fellows there said that they actually considered Jesus to be a very powerful shaman, a magical man, a powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that Jesus always has empowered us to do, and that is ask and you shall receive.
Mm. In prayer.
Let's ask. Not just in prayer, but with our mouths as well. And do it in a strong, right, good-thinking way.
Mm.
And something else, Scarlet Plume brought something up for me, too, is that I was brought up a Catholic, and I read a lot of the Bible, and I was unmoved by most of it. And until I read a different translation that in Genesis said that God gave man the stewardship of the earth and the animals and the plants on it, not dominion. Mm. Not dominion over any of the inhabitants, two-legged, four-legged, hundred-legged. Sounds good to me.
Makes a lot more sense.
If I may
yes,
speak
Mike.
For Jesus for a moment here.
Again?
No.
His original.
He also is a famous man who is quoted directly as saying, my friends, you like what I do. I tell you what you are going to do is greater than the same things I'm doing and greater yet. I'm looking for reports of the things that you're doing that are greater yet. Now, a famous man in my life, and Scarlet Plume's father, often mentioned that we need a new UN because most people on the planet are not represented at the UN. They have red, they have black people, yellow people, and they have white people, but they do not have red people. And when you boil that down, what he said was, who are the red people? And those are the people that when you open a cut on their hand or arm, they are red-colored on the inside. Catch that. And here's another one. This is free and pure, just a revelation to me, is that if you were born on a piece of land on this earth, it is an incumbent on you and behooven on you in the natural law, in the universal law, to do the ceremonies on that land that produce the results that the earth's hearing and thinking is furthered. That's what these ceremonies are about. Help and health for us, and some straight, clear thinking for the earth. So a new UN, get busy doing the ceremonies in that land where you were born, and it might be New Jersey. That is not a problem. And yes, change causes upset. And as the success of this goes, there will be more change, and it's an opportunity to get away from the part of me that is holding this whole operation flat down stopped, because I'm from Santa Cruz, and I appreciate the coffee roasting company just like everybody else. Thank you very much. If they go out of business, I'm going to Costa Rica.
Thank you, Mike. Oh, this is Janaea, and we've been speaking with members of Uniting All Nations. And if you want to reach them and participate as well, you can at email leadershipcommunity@outreach.
No, at gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Would you please repeat that
for
me? I think I just...
Current phone number, one good one, and then I'll direct you to who you should speak with in the organization, depending on your interest. A good number is 917-969-0679. That's 917-969-0679. And that email address is leadershipcommunity@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you as soon as possible, and we'll let you know what's coming up in the next few weeks or months for you and for us. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all for being here. We've been speaking with Mike Daly, Scarlett Blue, Barry Tillman, Barbara...
Delmura.
What was...
Delmura.
Delmura. And she is local, actually. She lives in Bonnie Doon. And very quietly, we have one other person here. What is your name once more?
Christine.
Christine.
Yeah, my name is Christine Silva, and I came down from Oregon, and I'm very glad that I did to be a part of this movement, and I'm learning about it, and been a friend of Scarlett Plume's for a number of years, and it's going to be a pleasure to work with her.
Thank you so much. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, and we are looking for donations, and you can mail those to Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7507, 95061. And shortly, Coral will be in, and this is the last time she's going to be on Cosmos and Cruzmos. She has another program now on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. And thank you for listening, and I will have them back again.
Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.